you're in the 06010.
Special, perhaps an emergency edition of the Fantasy Focus is here now. Field and Matthew, Tuesday, March 8th. And it's been a busy, busy day in the world of the NFL, Matthew. As we had all sorts of quarterback news. Hopefully, were you in a good spot today to react to all this news? Or were you on the go, traveling, take care of your kids? What was going on in your world?
Yeah, no, I was in an awful spot. So,
Good.
Death to a family. There has been a death to a family friend. So awful. So my wife and I were at a funeral this morning. And then my wife was they had a reception afterwards. The family did. And so my wife was there. And so I was dealing with the kids. The kids had a dentist appointment after school. They had an early day at school. So I was picking them up and going to the dentist. And then, of course, all hell breaks loose in the NFL. So I'm driving around and I'm getting texts from editors requesting videos, which I still haven't done as a reaction to Russell Wilson. And, you know, I wrote a column about the combine, a bunch of news and notes, nuggets that I heard at the combine, which is probably out as we're taping this. But a lot of the stuff that I wrote about last week and over the weekend is now out of date or need to be updated with some of the moves that were made today. So it's been a hectic day for myself, and obviously lots of people in the media that cover the NFL, given the fact that Aaron Rodgers is now a Green Bay Packer, Russell Wilson now a Denver Bronco.
Yeah, let's start with the Rodgers part of this equation, Matthew. That should be fairly straightforward. Obviously, I don't know about a surprise, because Packers fans have been ardent in their stance that, hey, he was going to be a Packer for life, yeah. But obviously there's been some very legitimate reporting, and Aaron Rodgers himself acknowledged, hey, you know, there might be life on the other side of Green Bay, whether that's retirement or playing somewhere else. Retirement was very real, he told Pat McAfee, but he ends up staying in Green Bay. As of the time that you and I are having this conversation, we do not yet know how long or the details of a new deal with Green Bay, but it is anticipated he is going to sign that new contract, as Pat reported directly from Aaron himself this morning. So this is good news. This is a banner day for Green Bay, Matthew. It also dovetails with the fact that Devontae Adams had the franchise tag placed on him. So last year we thought could be the last dance. Not so fast, my friends.
Well, right. And I mean, Aaron Rodgers himself put it out there. You know, he tweeted, I want to quote tweet this exactly, so make sure I have this correct here. So I want to make sure I have the exact quote here from Aaron Rodgers, but he tweeted this out on his personal account at Aaron Rodgers. Quote, let's see. Sorry, I'm scrolling through a lot of tweets to scroll through. Here we go. Sorry. Hey, everyone. This is from at Aaron Rodgers 12. Hey, everyone. Just wanted to clear some things up. All capitals. Yes, I will be playing with the Packers next year. However, reports about me signing a contract are inaccurate, as are the supposed terms of the contract I quote unquote signed. I'm very excited to be back. Arm strength emoji, hashtag year 18 heart. So there you go. Aaron Rodgers from his official account tweeting he will be back with Green Bay. As you mentioned, Devontae Adams tagged. Aaron Rodgers is a guy who, over the last 2 years among quarterbacks, has the most touchdown passes, has the best touchdown rate and the most fantasy points per pass attempt. He's the third best quarterback in fantasy on a total points basis over the last 2 years. He's the fifth best quarterback on a points per game basis over the last 2 years. He's a fantasy superstar. He's a rock star. Having Devontae Adams back and the fact that he is back in Matt LaFleur's offense, to me, Field, he's a no-brainer. Once again, top five fantasy quarterback, and will be, I think, as long as him and Devontae Adams are in Green Bay.
No doubt about it. And he was brilliant last year. He was brilliant the year before, even after a little bit of a down year prior to that, back-to-back MVP. I feel the same way. And you and I talked about this going into last season. He's a very unique quarterback to not have legitimate rushing upside to be a top five consideration for us in fantasy. Two things. One, Aaron Rodgers proved last year that he can have that weekly upside even without running the football a ton. And two, last year we saw a bit of a dip with all those rushing quarterbacks, right? Josh Allen still has it in him, no doubt about that. And Russell Wilson has it in him, and no doubt about that. But we saw less quarterback running last year for some of those elite players than we did the year prior. So all is well in Green Bay. Plenty more moves to come in Green Bay. They're going to have to figure out some of their wide receiver pieces that are not named Devontae Adams, as MVS is going to be a free agent. Alan Lazard could get paid this offseason as well. But for now, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, the two most important players in that offense, are both back for 2022.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that'll be interesting to see if one of those guys, MVS or Lazard, comes back and the other doesn't, because then they would suddenly be interesting. And we'll see if Randall Cobb comes back as well. Obviously, they want to get Rob Tonyan back healthy. But this is good news.
He's a free agent as well.
Right. Oh, so we'll see if Big Bob Tonyan comes back as well. So a lot of moves still to shake out in Green Bay. But certainly, if you're the Packers front office and you're a free agent player that has interest from Green Bay, knowing that number 12 is going to be under center is pretty enticing in terms of wanting to come back and play. I think this is ultimately good news for Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. We'll talk about them as we get along. Matt LaFleur at the Combine talking about the fact how he feels like he's got two number one running backs. Great for Green Bay, bad for us in the fantasy world, because it is going to be a running back by committee. But still, there'll be a running back by committee in a highly efficient offense with Aaron Rodgers back. So both should retain the value that they had last year.
Let's move forward to the really, really surprising news of the day. Because I don't know that anybody forecasted it happening today, other than perhaps Shefty, who reported the news himself. And that is that Russell right. Wilson from Seattle is now a Denver Bronco. As Russell Wilson was traded to the Broncos, there were a lot of pieces involved in the trade. The most notable, Russell Wilson and a fourth round pick going to Denver. Noah Fant, obviously a very talented tight end for the Broncos, plus Drew Locke, the quarterback, plus a really good defensive player in Shelby Harris, all go to Seattle, plus I believe five picks in total, two first, two seconds, and a fifth. But let's focus in on Russ first here, Matthew, because we have been saying for at least a year, probably two now, that if this Denver offense just had a quarterback, there could be all sorts of upside. And now they don't just have any other quarterback, they have a future first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's a great move for the Denver Broncos. I have a friend that called me. He says, yeah, I'm a Broncos fan. He wanted my take on it. He's just like, I don't know. Is this a good deal for us? I'm like, dude, you got Russell Wilson. You're a Super Bowl contender now. And he was worried about all the picks and everything like that. I'm just like, the NFL is a quarterback-starved league. And, there's a wide difference between the haves and the have-nots, and Denver is suddenly a have, and you'll worry about the future later. But the time is now for Denver, to your point. Here's what's weird, Field, is this is a massive trade, obviously, from the NFL. It's a massive trade in terms of the fantasy impact on a number of players. I weirdly feel that Russell Wilson's fantasy impact isn't really that affected. So tell me what you think here, but Russell Wilson is what he is, right? He's had 30 more touchdown passes for the last 5 years. Obviously, this past year, he missed three games with the injury and clearly wasn't himself for the couple games after that. So I think he can throw this year out. But ultimately, Russell Wilson is, a mid-tier QB1, always is, doesn't run as much as he used to, but still runs enough. I think that if there's a positive here moving to Denver, he's got potentially more weapons and potentially, he's got a lot of weapons, but he also, he doesn't have as much familiarity with them. I think it'll be a more up-tempo offense than he had in Seattle. Like, I think they'll be less run heavy in Denver than they were in Seattle. But I don't know, I had Russell Wilson at QB 11 prior to the trade. I still have him at QB 11. Like, are you moving him up at all? Like, I still think he's a top 12 fantasy quarterback. He's a low end QB1 for me. He's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I'm ready to move him up. I mean, I think that the one thing that you said that I might slightly take issue with is the idea that he's not as familiar. Like, that's fine. Like, I think he'll figure it out during an entire training camp and potentially offseason workouts as well for Russell Wilson. Yeah, you know, and you and I talk about this a ton, and I'm going to try to be a little bit more proactive in talking about this upcoming year. But like in my perfect world, if it was up to me, like editorial to decide how we did rankings, I wouldn't rank players like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I would rank them as like, here are the quarterbacks that I expect to score 25 points a game every single week. And that tier might be 4 or 5 guys, right? It might be Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and, you know, a couple other guys that are at the top of their game, assuming they're healthy, right? That might be like my tier one. I think Russell Wilson has a chance to be like on the precipice of tier one, or like in that next cluster of guys that are like the Dak Prescotts and the Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, Tom Brady, obviously he's retired, whatever. But I'm so used to thinking about him, but all those players,
Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow.
Right. Joe Burrow. Like if I'm not paying the premium on a quarterback, if I'm happy to bypass a quarterback early, like I feel not just confident, I feel extremely confident if I walk away with Russell Wilson as my quarterback. I don't think last year is going to be a repeat. I think that last year, and I know the hand injury dramatically impacted things once he got hurt against the Rams in the middle of the season. I think there was a lot more going on this past year, Matthew. Like it was the worst kept secret in the NFL that Russell Wilson was unhappy, was ready to move on. Russ is never, ever, ever, would never have been the player that demanded a trade. I think how he is perceived means too much to him to be the bad guy. But it was obvious he wanted out. And I think last year, it was just an unhappy year in Seattle. I think a lot of the frustrations and the poor play was just because things were just in a bad place last year. So I expect a big bounce back from Russell Wilson. And if he finishes the 5th best quarterback in fantasy next year, wouldn't surprise me a bit. Let's talk about the wide receivers, though, because that's where I think there's the greatest change potential, right? Like Russ is still Russ and Rodgers still Russ. Rodgers.
Before we move on, the one thing I was going to say, though, I do think sort of interesting about just sort of fun. Just to think about, Russell Wilson's now going to have 2 games against Patrick Mahomes, 2 games against Justin Herbert, 2 games against Derek Carr. Like, that's going to be fun. Like, take fantasy out for a second, but like, that's just that. Like, if you're a fan of the NFL and you're a fan of watching great games, that's going to be fun. So there's 6 games that we expect pretty high scoring games between 2 great quarterbacks going back and forth next year. So just, you know, looking forward to that. That was one thing that sort of struck me thinking about, you know, Russell Wilson in that division.
Yeah, it's great. It's just an absolutely insane division of quarterback play right now. And I just, one thing I just want to say really quickly to that end, yeah. I had a tweet about the 4 quarterbacks in that division, is Derek Carr's underappreciated, man. Like,
I agree.
I mean, the amount of people that, you know, I listed Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, so they're loaded. People are like taking so much umbrage with Derek Carr even being mentioned in the same breath. Like, I'm not saying I'd rather have Derek Carr than Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert or Russell Wilson. This is, but I tell you what, I'd be very happy with him if I were a lot of teams, because we've seen what the NFL looks like when your quarterback is not at the level of Derek Carr. Let's move forward here, Matt. Let's talk about the wide receivers.
By the way, of the 4 quarterbacks you just mentioned, Mahomes is the only other one other than Carr that played in the playoffs last year. Right? I mean, yeah. Herbert and Wilson didn't play in the playoffs last year. I'm just saying, like, Derek Carr had to do like basically half the season without his best pass catcher in Darren Waller. Obviously the tragedy with Henry Ruggs, like, and the craziness about John Gruden leaving the team. Like, Derek Carr went through a lot last year. I'm with you. I am more pro Carr than I think a lot of people are. I think he's underappreciated.
So let's move forward, because there are a few other, I think there are some important tangents to get into here. Not even tangents, in legitimate fallout. Let's talk about the Seahawks. The Broncos wide receivers, Matthew. Do you feel as though there's a clear winner amongst the Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick trio, or is it all of them catapult up? And let me take a few months to observe what people are writing about at OTAs before I have a really strong stance about which one is above the rest.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But for me, it's like all of the above.
Okay.
I mean, they just went from Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, whatever, you know, they were going to try to do this season. I had heard a rumor at the combine that if they weren't able to land a quarterback, that they wanted Marcus Mariota. Right. And, you know, so the fact is that getting Russell Wilson is a huge upgrade to both these guys, sort of back of the envelope. It's a kind of an easy comparison, but I think it's a fair one to make, that Cortland Sutton sort of takes the DK Metcalf role, big bodied guy that can go up and win jump balls. Jerry Jeudy's kind of the Tyler Lockett role. you know, an elite route runner, a lot of speed. So I sort of feel like they're going to fall into those kind of roles. If I had to pick one today, I guess I'd say Cortland Sutton, just because I think maybe more touchdown equity, bigger bodied guy. We know that Russ likes to throw those jump balls. But I have, in my initial ranks post-trade, I have them both right next to each other. I have Sutton at 29. I have Judy at, I have at 28, 29. I have both guys just inside my top 30.
Yeah, it's. I think it's hard to go wrong right now with picking one. Like, I think they're both, put it this way, I think there's two, and there's Tim Patrick a little bit further down. Like, I think it will be hard for me to make a clear and firm stance on Jerry Jeudy being above Cortland Sutton or vice versa. I think you laid that out pretty perfectly right there. I think if like one of them had the ability to like break out and be like wide receiver seven, just based off natural ability, I would lean towards Jerry Jeudy, but I'm not sure yet at that point right now in terms of my evaluations of those two players. Certainly a good problem to have when you're trying to figure out which of your rock star wide receivers is going to be the best. Let's wrap up here, Matthew, with the Seahawks side of this.
Before we get there, real quickly, Field, I just, Noah Fant included in the trade to Seattle, which leaves Albert O as the starting tight end in Denver. I ranked him originally like tight end 17. Again, Russell Wilson hasn't used the tight end a ton in his career so far like he does here and there. But I do think Albert O suddenly on the fantasy radar as a, you know, as a deeper league tight end, because I think he's a talented player, and with Noah Fant out of the way, should see an increase in, obviously, routes and targets and snaps.
Yeah, Albert Aquabanam, their fourth round pick a couple of years ago. Like, I still wonder if there like is only one football to go around, and it might be that we just have three really good wide receivers, not as much impact from the tight end position. That being said, would not surprise me if we see Albert O fire up the rankings a little bit, you know, to where you said 18, 17, mid-tier tight end two, based off of some, if he has a strong preseason and training camp and all that. So now let's wrap things up here and go to Seattle quickly, Matthew. I got dad duties, so my time is tough these days. But in Seattle, they got Drew Lock, they got Noah Fant, and obviously they have no Russell Wilson. So I think that there are two sides to this. I'm not willing to – I just don't think Drew Lock's going to be their starting quarterback next year. If so, we're in deep trouble. I think there's going to be another move somewhere else. I don't know exactly what that will be, but I would be surprised if Drew Lock is the answer, is the heir apparent for 2022 for Russell Wilson. But two questions: how far down the rankings do DK Metcalf and also Tyler Lockett fall right now with the uncertainty at quarterback? And then is Noah Fant value up or value down after being traded away to Seattle?
So I'll start with the Noah Fant question. I weirdly think he's basically the same. I mean, we've seen Noah Fant with bad quarterback play, whether it was Teddy Bridgewater, or let's call it inconsistent quarterback play, and Drew Lock. And whether it's Drew Lock under center for the Seahawks, whether it's a free agent that's out there, whether it's a rookie, whoever it is, it's not going to be much better than what he's had previously. So I think Noah Fant's a talented wide receiver, not a ton of touchdown equity. He's had 60 or more receptions, 650 yards each of the last 2 years, top 12 tight end in total points and points per game. I'm a tight end 14. That's where I have him. And then you asked me about the wide receivers. I'll just tell you that I moved DK Metcalf down to wide receiver 18, Tyler Lockett down to wide receiver 25. You think about the three games last year in which Russell Wilson missed. Tyler Lockett was wide receiver 36 on a points per game basis over that three games. Metcalf actually did well because he scored a couple of touchdowns, but he was under 60 yards in two of the three games. I have Metcalf, again, higher than Tyler Lockett just because I think he's more quarterback-proof. Bigger targets, more likely to score a touchdown. One of the things that made Tyler Lockett so special was the connection he had with Russell Wilson. The two of them were so in sync. And so whoever Seattle gets as a quarterback this year ain't going to be as good as Russell Wilson. Not going to be close. And so, yeah, both guys take a hit. It is what it is. I think we'll wait to see on the run game here in terms of Chris Carson. Does Rashad Penny come back? He's a free agent. I know they want him back, but Seattle isn't usually aggressive in trying to re-sign free agents. But my expectation here is that while the offense will be less efficient and in scoring position less, they're probably going to run even more if Russ isn't there. So maybe volume masks whatever inefficiency might be there for Chris Carson. But at the moment, until we know that he's fully healthy and we know that he doesn't have competition, I am as a running back 3.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what his future looks like. The team has some depth at running back. If they bring back Rashad Penny, they got great production from Rashad Penny. They are looking to, like, when you trade away your franchise quarterback, your iconic quarterback, yeah, everything is on the table, right? Like, they may pivot. Who knows? They may try to retool this more than rebuild this, but I've got my eyes on Seattle for a bunch of potential moves this offseason. That's going to do for now. Unless you and Danny want to take this over and finish it up and go a different direction, I got to get back up to a screaming and crying baby who's beautiful and perfect in every way, but sometimes she just gets tired and cries her way through it.
No, maybe Kinley is a Seahawks fan and she's very upset that Russell Wilson's now in Denver.
Well, maybe Kimes is her favorite ESPN analyst, so I wouldn't be surprised by that. Yeah.
I was just going to say, maybe Aunt Nina has, like, you know, already gotten Kinley on the Seahawks bandwagon, part of the 12th man over there. So
she is certainly, she's rubbing off on Kinley in a very positive way. Tough day for Seahawks fans, but they'll figure out. Seahawks fans find, usually tweet their way through it. It's pretty, you know, Seahawks Twitter is pretty, it's one of the best. So she'll figure it out. In the meantime, I am going to try to find a way to calm her down and put her down for a nap. But this was good to get back together and talk a little bit. I'm sure we're going to be doing it again sometime soon, a busy few weeks ahead in the NFL. And the good news is, we'll have much more context, right? We can analyze these moves so much more in the coming weeks. Should be a fun, fun few weeks ahead. All right, buddy. Good talking to you. For Matthew, I am Field. And Daniel, producing, as always, doing electric work. We'll talk to you guys soon here on the Fantasy Focus.
Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island. Going full Haynesworth without even trying. Award-winning creations, like his news or noise segment, are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a Field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.